Amen. Please turn to Genesis chapter 37. We will continue in chapter 37 tonight, looking at verse 12 through the end of the chapter. Genesis chapter 37. Remember last week, Joseph had three strikes against him. He gave an evil report about four of his brothers. He was the favorite of their father, and he had dreams that made Joseph the superior of all of his family. And when you get three strikes, you're out. This part of Genesis chapter 37 is about how Joseph was put out by his brothers. In verse 11, they envied him. And his brethren envied him, it says. The word envy is used several times in the Bible, and it can be both positive and negative. It can be zealous or jealous. Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 21. Zealous is sometimes describing one of God's attitudes. In this case, it's not complimentary. It says, they have moved me to jealousy with that which is not God. But he's jealous in a righteous way because he's jealous for what belongs to him. Zealous sometimes describes a proper attitude of man. Over in Numbers chapter 25 and verse 13, refers to Phinehas. We'll look at that in a little bit. Phinehas was zealous for his God, and he did something great for the people of Israel. The word jealous can describe an inappropriate attitude of man. And in this case, it's translated envious in Psalm 73, verse 3, for I was envious at the foolish. Who wants to envy the foolish? Well, they were prospering. And the psalmist said he was envious at the foolish. And the brothers of Joseph fit this last category, an inappropriate attitude of man. His brothers envied him. They saw Joseph possessing something that they wanted, and they envied him for it. So let's look at it. What did Joseph have that his brothers wanted? Well, there were two things, I think. One was his father's favor. Verse 3, now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children. But the second thing was he had his father's trust. And I think this is something that the brothers sensed they did not have. Remember in verse 2, Joseph had already brought an evil report regarding four of the brothers. And so when we come to verse 12, we see that Jacob is sending Joseph off to check up on his brothers. Now, isn't this interesting? Does Jacob not trust his other sons that he needs to send Joseph to check up on them? Verse 12, and his brethren went to feed their father's flock in Shechem. And Israel said unto Joseph, do not thy brethren feed the flock in Shechem. Come, and I will send thee unto them. And he said to him, here am I. And he said to him, go, I pray thee, see whether it be well with thy brethren and well with the flocks. We don't know why Jacob was wondering about this. Perhaps it had been quite some time since the brothers had reported back home. In fact, what we're going to find is that Jacob thought they were in Shechem, and they were not. And so the brothers moved to another location without letting their father know. Was this a habit of theirs? Were there some other things that the brothers did that made Jacob a little distrustful, and he needs to send Joseph to check up on them? It's interesting that he trusts Joseph to bring him an honest report. So Jacob sends Joseph to check up on his brothers, probably expecting another evil report. And there appears to be good reason. Jacob trusted Joseph more than all his brothers. So we come to verse 15. And a certain man found him, and behold, he was wandering in the field. And the man asked him, saying, "What seekest thou?" So Joseph goes to Shechem, where Jacob says the brothers are tending the flock. And Joseph is wandering around this place looking for his brothers, and he can't find them because they're not there. And so this man finds Joseph wandering around, and this man wants to know, "What are you looking for?" He was obvious looking for something. So the man said, "What seekest thou?" Joseph wonders if this man knows where his brothers are. Verse 16, and he said, "I seek my brethren. Tell me, I pray thee, where they feed their flocks." Well, it just so happened that this man had overheard the brothers say where they were going. Verse 17, the man said, "They are departed hence, for I heard them say, let us go to Dothan." And sure enough, Joseph found his brothers in Dothan. Verse 17 continues, and Joseph went after his brethren and found them in Dothan. Now, Dothan is several miles north of Shechem, further away from the place where Jacob is living. So they are moving away from home, taking the flock further away. The brothers were not in the place where Jacob expected them to be. And you wonder, was this their habit? Was this the reason that Jacob wanted to know if everything was okay? Did they have a habit of wandering further away from home and putting themselves potentially in danger? A lot of questions. When a person is zealous for a righteous cause, it is productive. Go over to Numbers chapter 25 and see the contrast to Joseph's brothers. This man called Phinehas. In Numbers chapter 25, and Israel abode in Shittim, and the people began to commit whoredom with the daughters of Moab. Verse 2, the people did eat and bow down to their gods. It's terrible. Verse 3, the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel. And in verse 4, the Lord said to Moses, "Take all the heads of the people and hang them up before the Lord against the sun, that the fierce anger of the Lord may be turned away from Israel." Ooh, that's pretty harsh. This was a serious thing. You know, severe punishment is a deterrent to crime. We might have less crime in our country today. Oh, sorry. If they actually deterred crime by punishing the criminals. That's what God was doing here. He was deterring crime by this severe punishment. In verse 6, behold, one of the children of Israel came and brought unto his brethren a Midianitish woman in the sight of Moses, in the sight of all the congregation of the children of Israel. It was rather a blatant act. An immoral, blatant act, right in front of everybody. Verse 7, and when Phinehas saw it, he rose up from the congregation and took a javelin in his hand, went after the man of Israel into the tent and thrust both of them through the man of Israel and the woman through her belly. So the plague was stayed from the children of Israel. It sounds harsh. Oh, he was so severe. What a terrible thing to do. But the Lord compliments him and says in verse 11, he was zealous for my sake. And in verse 13, or verse 12, wherefore say, behold, I give unto him my covenant of peace, and he shall have it, and his seed after him, even the covenant of an everlasting priesthood, because he was zealous for his God. Phinehas understood the difference between right and wrong, and he decided to take a stand for what was right in being zealous for his God, and God honored that. Now, Joseph has had these dreams. There's no record in Scripture that any of his family inquired whether or not these came from the Lord. And regardless of what the dreams said or meant, if they had come from the Lord, shouldn't they be honored? No one thought about that. They all thought about themselves and were envious of what had been given to Joseph. And when a person is jealous in an unrighteous cause, it is destructive. That's what happens next. The 10 brothers see Joseph coming, verse 18. And when they saw him afar off, verse 19, they said one to another, behold, this dreamer cometh. You see how the dreams continue to affect their attitude towards Joseph. This dreamer. And so the brothers decide it's time to get rid of Joseph. Verse 18, when they saw him afar off, even before he came near unto them, they conspired against him to slay him. They talked about killing Joseph. Verse 20, come now therefore and let us slay him and cast him into some pit, and we will say some evil beast hath devoured him, and we shall see what will become of his dreams. So while Joseph is actually within sight, they see him coming, they are talking about killing him. This is where envy takes you. Look at Proverbs chapter 27 and verse 4. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 4. Wrath is cruel and anger is outrageous, but who is able to stand before envy? Because envy leads to destructive behavior. They're envious of Joseph because of his dreams, because of his the favor that he has in his their father's eyes, and they are ready to kill him. Now, Reuben is the oldest of all the brothers, probably was the most sensitive to how Jacob would take Joseph's death. And so in verse 21, Genesis chapter 37, verse 21, and Reuben heard it. He heard what the other brothers were talking about, and it says he delivered him out of their hands. Now, that will be in process, but this is what he intends to do. And so he says, let us not kill him. And Reuben said unto them, shed no blood, but cast him into this pit that is in the wilderness, and lay no hand upon him, that he might rid him out of their hands to deliver him to his father again. So he goes along with part of the plan. Oh, yeah, let's throw him into a pit. But in his mind, he is thinking at nighttime, when everybody else is sleeping, I'll get him out of the pit and tell him to go home. Reuben insists that no blood be shed. Let us not kill him, shed no blood, lay no hand upon him. Well, Reuben is the oldest brother. Maybe we should listen to him for now. Maybe he has a better plan of getting rid of Joseph. So the brothers agree they will not kill Joseph. Joseph arrives, and the very first thing they do is tear his coat of many colors off of him, verse 23. And it came to pass when Joseph was come unto his brethren that they stripped Joseph out of his coat of many colors that was on him. This coat was an object of offense to the brothers. Just looking at the coat was offensive to them. That coat had to go. It was a symbol so objectionable to the brothers. They could not throw Joseph into a pit while he was still wearing that coat. They had to get that coat off of him. Now imagine, here is this young man, 17 years old. All of these other 10 brothers are older than him, and they grab a hold of him and are ripping this coat off of him. What do you think he was thinking? What's going through his mind? I'm your brother. What are you doing? Well, that was bad enough. Then they take him over to a dry well and cast him in. Verse 24, they took him and cast him into a pit, and the pit was empty. There was no water in it. A dry well. Now what is Joseph thinking? 17 years old, his special coat's been torn from him. He is in a pit, and his brothers hate him. He has to be wondering, what is next? It's interesting to me that in this context, Scripture does not record Joseph's reaction. However, there was a reaction, and the brothers would reminisce about that years later when they would come in contact with Joseph in Egypt, Genesis chapter 42 and verse 21. In Genesis chapter 42 and verse 21, it says, and they said one to another, we are verily guilty concerning our brother, in that we saw the anguish of his soul when he besought us and we would not hear. From the pit, Joseph besought his brothers. obviously asking for pity. What have I done? What are you doing to me? Please get me out of this pit. What are you going to do? They saw the anguish of his soul, anguish, the distress that he was in, the mental strain he was experiencing as a result of what they were doing to him. But in spite of that, Joseph had two dreams. And the dreams from God said to him that at some point in his life, his brothers were going to bow down to him. Now, what he's experiencing in this moment is the exact opposite of that. And he has to be thinking to himself, this is not the end for me. And so in spite of the anguish of his soul and his plea to his brothers, somewhere inside of Joseph there was a certain amount of confidence that he was going to survive this. Verse 25, the brothers sat down to eat bread. How can you do that? You've just ripped this coat from your brother and thrown him into a pit, and you sit down to eat supper like everything is normal. Very strange. The word bread here refers to their meal, which could have consisted largely of bread by virtue of being out in the field. But the implication is that it was mealtime and there was no consideration of feeding Joseph. They sat down to eat themselves. They've been contemplating murder. They've abused their brother. And they still have an appetite. That's cold. So the brothers come up with a new plan. In verse 25, they sat down to eat bread, and they lifted up their eyes and looked, and behold, a company of Ishmaelites came from Gilead with their camels bearing spicery and balm and myrrh, going to carry it down to Egypt. Now, Gilead was on the east side of Jordan. Shechem is on the west side of Jordan. So these Ishmaelites, as we'll see in a bit, along with some Midianites, have crossed over the Jordan River and are taking the road from northern Canaan down into Egypt rather than going down and around the bottom of the Dead Sea. They are carrying spicery, balm, and myrrh. Spicery refers to various kinds of spices. We don't know exactly what those are. Balm had medicinal value, and myrrh was used in the embalming process. All of these were, of course, desirable by the Egyptians. You know, they were very much into embalming, and it was a unique thing with the Egyptians at the time. So in verse 26, Judas said to his brethren, "What profit is it if we slay our brother and conceal our blood, conceal his blood?" So he's got the idea we can appease our conscience by getting rid of Joseph in another way other than killing him. You know, if we kill him, we're going to have that on our minds all the rest of our lives. We can appease our conscience and not kill him. We can sell him. Yeah, our conscience won't be nearly as bad selling him as killing him. So in verse 27, "Come and let us sell him to the Ishmaelites, and let not our hand be upon him, for he is our brother and our flesh." Oh yeah, we're not going to touch him. We're just going to sell him. Once again, these are cold men. And their conscience is warped. Why is selling Joseph into slavery so much less than killing him? When your mind is clouded with envy, it is easy to appease the mind regarding evil with something you consider less evil. Someone would say, "I'm not a murderer, I'm just a thief." But did you know that as far as God is concerned, murder and stealing are equal? Because both of them are in the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not kill and thou shalt not steal. And yet somehow in our minds, even today, we think, oh, a thief is not as bad as a murderer. It's amazing how we can appease our conscience. Somehow we feel better because we only stole something and didn't take a life. But the brothers, are stealing Joseph's life. And their conscience is appeased because they're not going to kill him. Beware of an envious mind. Because an envious mind can lead you to faulty reasoning. However, 9 of the brothers were satisfied with this idea. Apparently, Reuben is not with the group when this transaction takes place. We'll see that in a moment. Verse 27, "Come, let us sell him to the Ishmaelites. Let not our hand be upon him, for he is our brother in our flesh." And his brethren were content. They're content with the idea of selling their brother into slavery. And so they engage the merchantmen, verse 28. "Then there passed by Midianites, merchantmen. And they drew and lifted up Joseph out of the pit and sold Joseph to the Ishmaelites." Now here we see there are Midianites and Ishmaelites together in this group. The explanation would be that this was a Midianite caravan. The Ishmaelites were traveling with the Midianites. The Ishmaelites and Midianites were neighbors on the eastern side of Jordan, and it would make sense for them to all travel together to share expenses on the journey. And so the brothers sell Joseph, and it says in verse 28, "They drew and lifted him up Joseph out of the pit and sold Joseph to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver." Now, we can't be certain as to what the actual value was of those 20 pieces of silver, but it really couldn't be a lot of money. Abimelech had given Abraham 1,000 pieces of silver. Joseph gave Benjamin 300 pieces of silver later on. Jacob bought a burial plot for Rachel for 400 pieces of silver. And in the law, some years later, if a man's servant was gored by an ox, he was compensated with 30 pieces of silver, which is 10 more than 20 pieces. And when you think about it, there were 10 brothers, 20 pieces of silver. It was only 2 pieces of silver for each brother. That really wasn't very much. But Reuben comes and finds the pit empty, verse 29. "And Reuben returned into the pit, and behold, Joseph was not in the pit, and he rent his clothes. And he returned unto his brethren and said, 'The child is not, and whither shall I go?'" Reuben probably thought that Joseph was dead. He obviously wasn't there when the other 9 sold him to the Ishmaelites. So he says the child is not. He thinks he's dead. And he says, whither shall I go? How can I go back to our father and tell him what happened to Joseph? The brothers make it look like Joseph was killed by an animal. Verse 31, they took Joseph's coat, killed a kid of the goats, and dipped the coat in the blood. Understand, back in the day, blood was blood. Jacob wouldn't be able to tell whether it came from a human being or an animal. Blood was blood. And then notice in verse 32, they sent the coat of many colors. They didn't take it. They sent it. They wanted Jacob to find out about this before they faced him. They sent the coat, obviously, with some of their servants, and instructed them what to say to Jacob. So in verse 32, they sent the coat of many colors, and they, the ones that were sent with the coat, brought it to their father and said, This have we found. Well, that's not true. They didn't find it. They were given it. Know now whether it be thy son's coat or no. That was not necessary. They knew exactly whose coat it was. This is why I say they sent it with some messengers with instructions as to what to say. If these were servants assisting the brothers in tending the sheep, they also would know exactly what happened to Joseph. They didn't need Jacob to identify the coat. See, none of the brothers wanted to be there when Jacob heard the news. They were brave enough to dispose of their brother, but not brave enough to face their father. Well, Jacob knew exactly whose coat it was in verse 33, and he knew it and said, it is my son's coat. An evil beast hath devoured him. Jacob immediately assumed the worst, which ultimately made it easier for the brothers to explain what had happened. Jacob mourned for his son many days. Verse 34. Jacob rent his clothes and put his sackcloth upon his loins and mourned for his son many days. Wearing sackcloth back in the day is equivalent to wearing black today for a funeral and for a period of mourning. Used to be widows would wear black for a long period of time after their husband died, as a symbol of their mourning period. In Jacob's day, they wore sackcloth. And this went on for many days. Nothing his sons or anyone else could do could soften the blow for Jacob regarding his loss. Verse 35. And all his sons and all his daughters rose up to comfort him, but he refused to be comforted. And he said, for I will go down into the grave unto my son mourning. Thus his father wept for him. If their objective was to remove Joseph as an obstacle to their father's favor, they failed miserably. Jacob said, "I will go down into my grave mourning for my son." If their objective in getting rid of Joseph was to win their father's affection by being a source of comfort to him, again they failed miserably because he refused to be comforted. Nothing went the way they wanted it to. Beware evil objectives. They never produce the profit they promise. Instead of liberating you, they tend to be a heavy yoke about your neck that in the end only brings sorrow to everyone. These brothers had to live every day with Jacob still thinking about Joseph. He never gave up thinking about Joseph. He declared he would go to his grave thinking about Joseph. They couldn't get rid of Joseph, even though they got rid of him. And then when the famine came, they ended up bowing down to Joseph, which was the very thing they tried to avoid. Except for one brother, Reuben. We have to give Reuben credit. He was afraid of a terrible outcome, and he tried to avoid it. He had a plan. He persuaded the brothers not to kill Joseph. And he was going to come back and get Joseph out of the pit and set him free. At least he tried. He tried to stop evil intentions rather than participating in them. But beware. If there's anyone in this world that has something you wish you had, be very careful about envy in your heart, because it will only lead you down a destructive path. Rather, be a Reuben and try to stop it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this part of your word. It's sad to see what these brothers did. And how many people's lives they hurt because of it. Even their own didn't turn out like they had hoped. But thank you for the warning. Give us the strength of will to resist envy. And if others have blessings in their lives and prosper, let us be glad for them and content with what we have. I pray in Jesus' name, amen.